Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Are you dealing with circumstances that are overwhelming in your life? Do you wonder where to turn or what to do next? Often it's an adjustment of your perspective, and next we're going to discover who God is. Understanding God with Paul Chappell, next on Daily in the Word. Let your understanding of Him change your perspective. It has been said, if you have a small God, you have big problems. But if you have a big God, you have small problems. So often in life, our perspective of God changes everything in our life. And if this broadcast comes to you in the midst of overwhelming obstacles and trials in life, then a clearer understanding of who God is in your life will radically change your perspective and give you strength and grace to go forward. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This is a daily radio program that features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. You can find out more about Daily in the Word when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. We're studying a series entitled Understanding God. If you'd like to listen to past programs, or if you'd like to refer a friend to dailyintheword.org, you can listen to programs or subscribe to the free podcast. All of it is at dailyintheword.org. But now, let's dive into understanding God. Today we understand the justice of God. Isaiah chapter 45, verses 20 through 25. Here's Paul Chappell.
A number of years ago, the late actor Jack Benny was receiving an award for his work. And upon receiving the award, he remarked, "I really don't deserve this, but I have arthritis and I really don't deserve that either. So I gladly accept this award." Now, many of us have been involved in situations and relationships and trials, and we really didn't think we deserve what we were getting out of that situation. And many times in life, there seems to be inequities that we cannot explain with our own human reasoning. In fact, most people this morning have observed situations just like I have observed situations in the world around us. And when we see these inequities and when we see the tragedy around us, we really don't understand exactly what's going on. Sometimes, if we would be honest about it, we really don't understand what God is doing in a given situation, and we try to comprehend it, but we really can't quite put the pieces together. For example, maybe you've asked this question like I have. Why was that entire family killed, but the drunk driver walked away without an injury? Or maybe you've been like I've been to the Children's Hospital on occasion, and as you walk through places like Children's Hospital in downtown Los Angeles, you ask yourself, why do all these dear families have such tragedy affecting such young children? Or maybe you've asked the question, why do they have such a seemingly good marriage and mine's not really going like I thought it would when we started this relationship? Sometimes all of us ask questions like this, and we sometimes, if we're not careful, even wonder about God's justice system. But I want to remind you this morning that you and I serve a God who, even when we do not understand nor comprehend the situations of life, is always fair and He is always just. He is the moral governor of the universe, and He is always working on our behalf. He is always doing exactly according to His plan what He determines best. His ways are right, even when we do not understand His ways. Now, Isaiah was a prophet who understood this truth. Isaiah's ministry spanned over a period of some 60 years for the children of Israel. And during a part of his ministry, the children of Israel, the Jews, were in captivity in a place called Babylon. Some of you have studied the story. A wicked king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar came. Because of the disobedience of the children of Israel, God allowed him to carry them away some 700 miles into captivity. But God also allowed another enemy of Israel to defeat Nebuchadnezzar. In fact, the Bible speaks of him in our chapter 45 and verse number 1. His name was Cyrus. He was the king of the Persians. And the Bible speaks of Cyrus in an unusual term. In verse 1, it says that he was God's anointed. Isn't that something? That's a phrase that is normally used to describe Jesus Christ. But here it is used to describe a pagan king named Cyrus. And this pagan king named Cyrus defeated Nebuchadnezzar and thus brought the children of Israel back into their homeland, back to Jerusalem, many of them came. And isn't it amazing that even God, and especially God, can even use a wicked king to fulfill his purposes? And that's exactly what he did. He anointed a man named Cyrus to be used of God in order to bring the children of Israel back home. And so once they gather back home in Jerusalem, the prophet Isaiah calls them together. He says in verse number 20, "Assemble yourselves and come." He says, "I want you to get together. God has a message for you. I want you to gather together to hear this message." And as Isaiah calls for the assembly, he begins to explain to the children of Israel the justice of God. These who had been pillaged from their homes and taken captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, and these who had seen their loved ones killed. He says, "I want to get you together and try to help you understand from God's perspective some of what is going on." And there are three evident reasons cited by Isaiah as he gives to them the process whereby we might understand and the principles whereby we might understand the justice of God. And I want you to see with me this morning the justice of God. We see it in three great truths. First of all, we see the justice of God this morning because He remembers us. He remembers us. God has your address this morning. You may think He's forgotten, but He hasn't. And here the prophet gathers the children together and he says, "Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together," verse 20, "ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save." He said, "I want you to gather together. I want you to see that God remembers us." Now, even though God remembers us, we see in this verse this morning that man refuses God. Man refuses God. Now, notice what the Bible says in verse 20. It says, "They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save." Here we see that God remembers man, but man does not remember God. Even though God had allowed Cyrus to bring the children of Israel out of Nebuchadnezzar's bondage, yet the fact of the matter was that they had brought with them the graven idols from Babylon. They had been turning themselves to the false gods. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, "There is none that seeketh after God." You know, if you'll think about it, most of the time, men and women are not saying out on the streets today, "How can I find God? How can I get closer to God?" It takes someone knocking on their door, or it takes a trial in their family, or it takes some other circumstance to even get people to think about God. Men today seek the God of the New Age philosophy. They seek the God of positive thinking. They seek the gods of the Eastern religions, Hinduism and so forth. But they are not seeking after the living and the true God. Even though God is remembering us today, mankind as a whole is not seeking after God. In a 1993 presidential prayer breakfast, Vice President Al Gore said, "Faith in God, reliance on a higher power, by whatever name, is in my view essential." The vice president said, faith in God is really important. Whatever you want to call God, it's really important. Now I want you to think about that for a moment. That is what we would call a very polytheistic statement. In other words, Christians are monotheistic. We believe in the one true and living God. We don't say, "Hey, whatever God you want to pick, you want to worship a rock? Go ahead, worship a rock. You can worship a rock. You want to worship a cow, maybe? Good. Whatever God you worship, It's just important to worship a God, is what was stated. Now, the fact of the matter is that Isaiah very boldly says something in the last part of verse 20, and I want you to see it because it's important to understand. He says, and pray unto a God that cannot save them, you see. You see, while God remembers us and sent His Son Jesus, there are billions of people today who are worshiping gods and following gods that cannot save them. You say, how important is all this gospel preaching and church and offerings and singing and going to church and being faithful? I'll tell you how important it is. There are some religions today that cannot save and that will send someone straight to a Christless hell. And there is one religion today, namely the religion of the cross of Jesus Christ, that will send someone straight to heaven. You see, when we say Jesus saves, we really mean it. Jesus saves. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father except by me. And so Isaiah doesn't say, look, whatever the name is fine. Isaiah says, listen, there are some gods that cannot save. And so God remembers a world that, by and large, is running after all kinds of other gods, is very polytheistic. Even so-called Christians in America today are opening the doors so broadly that they're saying, well, you know, if it's Jesus, fine, but if it's some other way, that's fine too. In other words, just seeking any kind of a belief system. But here we see that even while God remembers us and sent Jesus Christ, His Son, the world does not remember God. I say to you that God is a just God in the very fact that He's remembering us even when we're not remembering Him. And isn't it amazing when tragedy strikes and sometimes people say, where's God? How could He let this happen? The very people saying that from their lips weren't thinking about Him for the many years prior to the tragedy. As the songwriter once said, He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. Now, man refuses God, but notice secondly, God calls man. God is calling mankind today. And you see it in verse 20. He says, assemble yourselves and come. God says, come, I want to talk to you. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. The Bible says in Isaiah 55 and verse 1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come. Isaiah 55 and verse 6, seek the Lord while He may be found. You see, God has not forgotten you. No matter how fair life seems to be to you, no matter how insignificant you think you are to God, God is still saying to you this morning, hey, why don't you come and let's get together. Let's reason together. Let me help you. Let me show you the way of salvation. And you see, He remembers us even when we refuse God, even when you were hard in heart, going your own way, living your own party lifestyle, God was still thinking about you during that time. And He was saying, hey, why don't you come here? Let's get together. And even when you're going through time of trials and you think that your life doesn't matter to God, He's still saying, come, let us reason together. Oh, everyone that thirsteth and is weary, come, and I will give you rest, He says. I'm glad that we serve a God of grace, aren't you? A God who's always remembering and thinking of us. The other day, my wife came back from the grocery store and the kids were coming in with groceries, and she came in with a little bag of something, and underneath the other arm, she had the most mangy, grody, sickly-looking kitten I have ever seen in my life. And I looked at that creature, and I said to her something like, what is that? She said, it's a kitten. I said, where did you get that? Lucky's. I don't know about you fellas, I didn't know Lucky's had stooped so low to start selling kittens. And I don't want to offend anybody this morning. We want to keep a real spirit in the good spirit in the church, but my favorite animal in the planet is not a cat, all right? I'll be honest about it. I don't think Lucky sells kittens, but she said, I got it at Lucky's. This cat still, as I walked by it this morning in my garage and as I looked with contempt upon it, and wondered how it had made its way into our family unit, I cringed with the thought. It's still sickly, wobbling around. But you know, something in my wife's heart when she saw that said, that little kitten needs a home. The moral of the story is, thank God that I'm not God. It's like my son Matthew years ago put a big sign up on his door, said, "No girls allowed." Girls, thank God that Matthew's not God. You see, God in His infinite grace loves every one of us equally, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, no matter how insignificant or sickly we might be, God is still interested in every one of us. He's calling us. He remembers us because He's a just God. But He doesn't just remember us. He doesn't just get our attention. But when He does, He has a message for us. He reminds us of some things. And I want you to see what He reminds us of in verse 21. He says, "Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from an ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me." Would you notice the phrase, "a just God and a Savior"? He reminds us here of the union of His two attributes of justice and of the Savior. He is a just God and He is a Savior. Let's notice first of all this phrase, He is a just God. Even when we cannot clearly see His justice, He is still a just God working on our behalf at all times. He is a just God. We could mention various peoples to whom He has been just. I think first of all of the Jewish people. And to the Jews, He has been a just God. God has made many promises to them. One of the great promises made to the Jewish people is what we call the Abrahamic covenant. And in Genesis chapter 15, God made a promise to Abraham. He said, "You will be my people, and I will be your God." And He said, "Your people will number like the stars of heaven, like the sands of the seashore." God says, "I will be your God." By the way, that's why I believe God has blessed America as we have been faithful to our relationship with Israel, because they are God's chosen people. While they may be held in contempt by many around the world, God says, "These are my people. I have chosen them." Later on, there's another covenant found in 2 Samuel chapter 7. That covenant is called the Davidic covenant. That was the promise whereby God says, "From the line of David, I'm going to bring a Savior. I'm going to bring a king." And the Bible says in Luke chapter 2 that Jesus Christ was of the house and lineage of David. And one day the Davidic covenant will literally be fulfilled when Jesus Christ returns to this earth and establishes that eternal kingdom of the Jews. And I'm saying that God has not forgotten His promise to the Jews. And in light of all of their trials and struggles, and in light of all of their persecution, they are still His people, and God will still establish His kingdom as He promised them. Jeremiah 23 and verse 5 says, "Behold, the day come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." You see, that prophecy of the coming of Christ will be fulfilled. God will be just to the Jew. Not only will He be just to the Jew, but I would say to you secondly this morning, God will be just to the Christian who is wronged. To the Christian who is wronged. You may be here this morning and you feel you've been dealt a bad deal. You feel that you're experiencing something that's unfair, or maybe someone said something about you or did something to you that was very hurtful and you don't understand it. Well, I'm going to tell you something this morning. God will make it right. God will make it right. There's no need for you to become bitter of spirit. There's no need for you to be bent on revenge. There is no need for you to jump to conclusions. When you as a Christian are wronged and you feel that someone has wronged you, there is a God in heaven who is just, and He will make it right. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5 says, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God." Sometimes people think, "Well, I'll tell you, that guy's wrong, and I'm going to straighten him out, and I'm going to do this or that to him." You know, God says, "Why don't you just wait and let me straighten it out? Why don't you recognize that I am a just God, and if there really is something wrong in that person's life, I'll be God, you be you, I'll take care of them." And too many times today we see Christians on a rampage, boy. They're going to really take care of something and they're going to really expose something. But we need to recognize God says in 1 Corinthians 4:5 that He will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And we need to realize that He is a righteous judge. And Romans 8:28 still says, and we know that all things work together for good for them who love God and are the called according to His purpose. And if you feel that you've been wronged or you feel that someone has trespassed against you in some way, recognize something. Rather than become bitter and vengeful in your life, give it to the Lord, who one day will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and He will judge accordingly because He is a just God. You say, well, His justice isn't according to my timetable. No, sometimes it isn't according to our timetable, but His justice is always right. To the Jews, He is a just God. To Christians who are wronged or hurt, He is a just God. May I say, to the hard of heart, He will judge them. To those who reject God and reject God and reject God, and sometimes we look at them and we say, how do they get away with it? Sometimes we look at a guy like Saddam Hussein and we see his wickedness and we see his murder and we see his lies and his villainous ways and we say, how does the guy get away with it? Listen, he hasn't gotten away with it. You say, well, I wish our country would bring Milosevic down to his knees and someone would take care of him, and so do I. But you know what? If it doesn't happen today, God will take care of it. Turn in your Bibles over to Romans, if you would, please. Romans chapter 2. There is a word I want you to see in this chapter that will help you to rest in the sovereign justice of God. Romans chapter 2, and verse number 1, we'll read verses 1 through 5, and the key word is in verse 5, but to get the context. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest dost the same things. But we are sure that the kingdom of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Would you notice the word in verse 5, treasurist? God says those who are of hard hearts, those who are living a wicked life against God, are treasuring up for another day judgment and the wrath of God upon themselves. Now, on the opposite end of that, how many of you believe that as we serve and as we love and as we give, we are as Christians laying up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt? How many of you believe as Christians we're laying up some stuff in store that we can lay down at the feet of Jesus Christ someday? Well, even as we will receive a reward for righteousness, the unrighteous is treasuring some things up. And you know what he's treasuring up? You know what he's saving up? He is saving up for the judgment of an almighty God. And so when we see that so-and-so is getting away with it in our mind, remember something. He's not getting away with anything. Because one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And we might be sitting here going, man, why doesn't the Lord just snuff that guy out?
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College. Understanding God begins really with knowing God, having a relationship with Him. So many people have a religion or a religious belief, but they don't have a relationship with the true and living God. And friend, that relationship is found only through Jesus Christ. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we would encourage you to come to Him, to let go of your works, your own goodness, your own religious structures, and to place your faith in Christ alone as your Savior. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, in answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? The answer is simple, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, if you've not made that decision, we would encourage you to make that decision today. If you have questions about receiving Christ, or if you'd like to find out more about our ministry and how we can serve you, we'd love to hear from you. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Also, before we wrap up today's edition of Daily in the Word, I want to invite you again to visit us at dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find lots of resources to help you in your spiritual growth. First, you can subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast and listen to this program at your convenience on the go. You can refer a friend to Daily in the Word. You can subscribe to the free Daily in the Word devotional in your email box every day. You'll be able to read through the Bible in a year, as well as enjoy an encouraging word of devotion from Dr. Chappell. Also, I want to encourage you to take a look at Dr. Chappell's newest book. It's entitled The Burden Bearer. It's a beautiful hardback book, about 180 pages in length, that will help you answer the question, who is carrying your load? You'll discover a beautiful allegory, wonderfully written, powerfully applied from God's Word. Once again, The Burden Bearer. It's the kind of book that after you read it, you're going to want everybody you know to read The Burden Bearer. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.